Thank you for that good song tonight. I don't have to go very far. I just don't. When I think about how amazing He is and has been to me. Why He's given me so many chances and so many opportunities. But I thank Him. I thank Him. I'm amazed. One songwriter said, I stand amazed in the presence. That's the reality. Thank you guys for singing tonight, for that good song tonight as well. Praise God. Praise God. Well, can you believe that it's back to school Sunday? It kind of jumped out at me. It's like, this is the last service before kids go back to school. When does Stone City start? A week from Wednesday. They get an extra week reprieve. How about Pleasant View? Any of you going to Pleasant View? Nobody knows? Hey, that's where I'd be too. I don't care enough to find out. Well, you've even got longer time. Wow. Unreal. School. August. August 6th. Is that what it is for Shoals, right? August 6th. My, oh, my. You know, back in the good old days, we didn't go to school until after Labor Day. Back in the good old days, you didn't go to school at all, huh? Anybody here can testify to that? Oh, my. School. Wow. Any seniors? Are there any seniors here tonight? You're going in. We've got a couple of them. And Liberty is too, right? Liberty's going to be a senior. Anybody else? Is Bella a senior? Huh. All girls. Wow. How about kindergarten? Anybody going to kindergarten? We have a kindergartner here. Any more kindergartners? Probably some preschool. You know, there's always starting. I thought Ben was going to raise his hand for that one there. He moved his arm like. Wow. Teachers, homeschooling, bus drivers. Oh, my. Caleb, our son Caleb got his license to drive bus. Wow. I have to tip my head and take my hat off for the bus drivers. It's just, wow, I don't know. That's a big job. That's a big job. Talking with Tina Sullivan this week, after how many years, what'd she say, how many years in kindergarten, she's moving to first grade. It's like, why do you do that? You've got it all planned out, everything's just, you know, flows, and then you switch it up. And she said she was looking forward to having Josiah 2 years in a row. Is that right? 2 years in a row. Wow. She mentioned him, having him again this year. With the passing of John MacArthur, I've kind of followed him closer than what I normally do, just listening to things and seeing things. And I ran across a book that he wrote. Of all the books that I'm sure that he's written, this one here stands out as one that I'm going to get. I just haven't got it yet. The title of it is The War on Children, Providing Refuge for Your Children in a Hostile World. That sounds like an interesting book. Wish I could have got it and read it before now, but I didn't. But we are living in a hostile world, and it's even more hostile when we are coming from this setting, because the devil wants to do everything that he can to destroy our families and our kids. And some of you are facing that with family too. I know, because you've talked to me about it. You know, it's out there. It's all around us. I don't know. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to grasp. And yet I know that through the workings of life, through the circumstances of life, sometimes the mundane things of life, the enemy gets our mind and eyes sidetracked and we lose sight. We lose sight. There's one mega church pastor that I listen to, and sometimes I even take notes from him. He's a good speaker. One of the things that I heard him recently saying, you get your eyes on your problems and on your difficulties, your trials, and you get your eyes on your circumstances, and you get your eyes on people. And he said, stop it. You've got to keep your eyes on the Lord. Now, that's some good preaching. Doesn't matter who it comes from. Kids, you're going back to school. Teachers, bus drivers, all that. But kids, you're going back to school. You're going to school to learn things that somebody decided that you needed to know. There's going to be times that you're going to sit there and you're going to say to yourself, and you might even say to your teacher, especially if your teacher's your mom, when am I ever going to use this? But it's more than just learning things that you're going to use. Way more than that. But in the midst of your education, in the midst of you studying, you're going to run across things and circumstances in life, and you're going to come up to the reality that life just, can I say it this way without taking darts? Life just ain't fair. It's not. Part of the reason why we think it's not fair is because we are only looking through a glass darkly. We can't see beyond the curtain of another person's life to see what they're going through. It may look like everything's good for them and everything's bad for me. Well, they just very well could be looking at you and saying the same exact thing. Everything's good for you and everything's bad for me, because we only see so much. We can't see beyond the veil of another individual. I was one that experienced the unfairness of life. I made more trips to the principal's office than anybody in the school. At Penview, I think I made more trips to the principal's office than all the rest of the school. I don't know that to be a fact, but to me it was unfair, especially for some of the stuff that I was called to the principal's office over. It's just not fair. Our policy, my dad's policy, was if we got a paddling at school, we got a paddling at home. And I got a paddling in the fourth grade, public school over Lucasville, Ohio. Dad was pastoring Candy Run Church. Some of you know and heard about Candy Run. I got paddled at school, and it was so unfair. Honestly, it was so, no sympathy for me needed. It was just simply an unfair thing. And I knew that I was going to go home and have to get another paddling for what I didn't do at school and got paddled. Dad did have grace for me that time and didn't paddle me as hard as what he normally would. He paddled me because that was the rule, but it wasn't a bad paddling. Didn't draw blood or break the paddle or anything. Don't gasp, that's happened before. But life just isn't fair. But kids, I want you to hear something. I mentioned it recently in passing. But God has a plan for you that began. It began at the moment that you were conceived, the moment that you began to develop in your mother's womb. Now, that's hard to grasp. That's hard to figure out. It's like, wait a minute now. How in the world? Nobody even knew I existed. How could it? Well, it's because God knew you existed. God knew you were going to exist before you existed. And at the point of his plan unfolding, it began at that very point when you began, when your life began. And so when we understand that, kids, when you understand that your life has a purpose in God's great scheme of things, in God's great plan, when you realize that you have a purpose, you understand that you can begin to understand that you are here for such a time that you're going through, such a time as this, just like Esther in the Old Testament. We take that and we use that so many times, Mordecai telling Esther, perhaps you're in the kingdom for such a time as this. Well, the reality is you are in this world for such a time as this. His plan is to unfold. He, God can get glory out of anything and everything that happens in your life. Even, now this is hard to say, kids, this is hard to say. God can even give glory some way out of an unfair paddling. Really? That's right. Somewhere in the circumstances of that happening, God can get glory out of it to his name. He can use it for his purpose, for his plan, even if it's to teach me, in that case, a lesson, or you a lesson. You see, I am what I am today because of all of those things that piled up over the last, somebody had the audacity to say 30 years being young. Well, you know, 59 years is pretty young comparatively. All of these years of things happening and taking place, some of them are because of my poor choices, the consequences that have come back. But even when that has happened, God can still turn it around to bring glory to his name. He can use it for a good purpose. It's not that he wanted you to face it or he wanted me to face that bad consequence, but he can take it when we give him the brokenness or the pieces and he can use them for his glory. It's when we start to make things about us. When we think that everything about life is about me and we complain about the problems and we complain about our infirmities and we complain about our sufferings and we complain about our heartbreaks and our pain and our tears. And we posted on Facebook that, oh, life is so unfair and life is so problematic and it's just not right and I can grumble and complain so that I can get all kinds of sympathy from other people when really God wants to use it for a good purpose in my life, not to use it to get sympathy from people that I don't know and people that really don't even care. Oh, they say they do in some measure, but that's all. Remember that when you're looking at somebody else's life, you're only looking through a veil, you're only looking through a curtain, and you really don't see what is on the inside or the other side of that individual. Especially if what they're posting is grand and glamorous on Facebook. And all the people said amen. Wow, we're quiet tonight. Brother Buckler, I need your help. Brother Buckler is going to be here sometime here in the future, and he's going to teach us how to say amen, I hope. We're going to pay him extra to get that done. Back in the book of Exodus, chapter number 4, Moses is out on the backside of the desert. Backside of nowhere, he has escaped from Egypt. He's run away from Egypt. And in that running away from Egypt, he was escaping what he thought was certain death because he had killed somebody. And so it was certain to him that he was going to have to pay the consequences for that. So he escapes and he's way out somewhere and years has passed. I believe it's probably nearly or right at 40 years has gone by and he's just living life and in his comfortable ease out here in this hard wilderness. And he sees something that gets his attention. It's a bush that's burning but not being consumed. It was probably not an issue for a bush to burn, but the point that it was not being consumed is what probably got his attention. And so he goes over there and he sees what is taking place with this bush burning but not being consumed. And lo and behold, he hears a voice out of that burning bush, and it's God speaking to him. And in the midst of that conversation, God asked him a question, Moses, what is that that's in your hand? I don't know if this is the kind of stick it was. I saw some props down there in the room, the costume room that has the, that shepherd's hook on it. I don't know if that's what he was carrying or if it was just a stick. Doesn't really matter to the point because what is that stick? What does that stick mean? Oh, it's vital to the shepherd. It's a necessary thing for the shepherd. For Moses, it's a necessary thing. But when God spoke to him and asked him what is in his hand, he wasn't specifically asking him to say, oh, I have a shepherd's staff and I need it to do this and I need it to do that and it helps me in this area and it helps me in that area. No, it was just simply, what is that in your hand? Young people and children, when you go back to school and this school year starts for you and the years ahead become more and more numerous and they're piling up and birthdays come and go, I want you to be asking yourself the question, what is in your hand? Because God has given you something. He has placed something in your hand that he can use for his purpose. You remember what happened with Moses? Moses, one of the first things that God told him to do was to put it on the ground. And so he dropped it onto the ground and it became a snake. It didn't, Ben, it didn't. Ben's looking close. He's wanting to take that black snake home with him to keep away the whatevers. Now, I believe that it says something about Moses getting away. Moses fled from before it. So I'm just going to guess that serpent that rod became, that staff or that stick became, was not a black snake in Martin County. I would say it was a venomous snake. And so he turned and got himself away. And the Lord told Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he reached down and he picked it up and it became his stick again. Now that's a miracle, and you and I can, when we can look at that and we can, thank God for that story. That's a wonderful, wonderful depiction. But whatever is in your hand that God has given you, he wants to use it as well. If we go over to 1 Samuel chapter number 17, there's another story of a person that is doing things behind the scenes. He's hidden away, and suddenly he becomes more prominent into the picture, the national picture. His name is David, little David, shepherd boy David. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and David is challenging the army of Israel to go out against this Philistine, this terrible, wicked man that is defying the God of Israel, and nobody seems to want to do it, and so David tells King Saul, the king, he's now in the presence of the king. This little ruddy complexion boy from the backside of the shepherd's life.
He's now standing before the king, and he tells the king, well, you don't really have to fear. You don't have to be afraid about sending me out here to go out against Goliath, because, king, I promise you that as I was out there with Dad's sheep, there was a lion and another time a bear that came out to get the sheep, and I killed them. Yeah, we're rolling our eyes at that one, and I'm sure King Saul was too. At some point, somewhere, this little guy said, oh, yeah. He said, you don't have to be afraid. And David was confident. Somehow he won over the king, and the king said, okay, go. I don't have a sling with me tonight. I wish I did, because it was in his hand. What is that in thine hand? God didn't ask David that, but what is that in thine hand? And David had a sling, and he chose a smooth stone. You say, preacher, you're wrong. He chose five, but he only used one of them. So I'm only going to talk about the one. So what was in his hand? It was a sling and a smooth stone. And he slew that giant, didn't he? And the giant came a-tumbling down. Was it a number of years ago when Brother Baker was here for VBS that he had stilts on and he fell backwards right here as the giant? Remember that? Anybody remember that? Goliath. Some little guy was up there in front and knocked him over. Goliath. Enormous. I don't know what was worse, Goliath or the bear or the lion, but David was confident. Why? Because he knew that what was in his hand was given to the Lord to be used for his glory. And it was the God of Israel that was being challenged that day. What is that in thine hand? I can't help whenever I think about stuff like this. I think about Samson over in Judges chapter 15. Samson wasn't always a good man, was he? He was kind of a bad guy sometimes. He lost his cool. He lost his proper vision. He looked at the wrong places. He did the wrong things. But there were times that God really moved on Samson. And in Judges chapter 15 and verse 15, he had just recently been tied up with some rope. And he was being turned over to the Philistines. His own people were turning him over to the Philistines. Bound up. But I'm told in that passage that those ropes became as wax. They became as nothing. And they just seemed to break away when he pressed against them. And he reached down onto the ground and he found himself the jawbone of a donkey. Now I'm going to tell you, this is the jawbone of a cow, a calf, a small cow anyway. Jawbone of a donkey is smaller than that, but I'm still amazed that he killed 1,000 Philistines with something like that. Oh, he was strong. Now, I'm of the opinion, not everybody's of the opinion, but I'm of the opinion that Samson really wasn't all that chiseled out. He was not all that buff. People were amazed at his strength. They bribed Delilah to find out how he was so strong because it just didn't look that way. Oh, yeah, he might have been as big as Ben or as Tommy or Brian, you know. They might have been, but still, to do all that he did? Come on, Ben. Guys, step up to the plate here. He killed 1,000 people who were armed and ready. I'm telling you, I can't understand it. What was it? God came on him and he used what was in his hand. As ugly and as disgusting as that is. Anybody want to shake my hand now? It's clean. It's been bleached, peroxided. It's clean. You know, what is it? It's in your hands. And I think of Gideon, too. Gideon, I don't have all those things that he had. What did Gideon have? He whittled his army down to 300 men, and then he even put them out there to go against this Midianite force, this Midianite host, that was like the sand of the sea. It was a huge army, and he had just 300 men broken into three different bands, and all that he gave them in their hands. Do you remember what those men of Gideon had? They had a candle that was under a pitcher, probably a clay pot, and then they had a trumpet. And they're going to go to war. You think sometimes that what God's given you is impossible to accomplish what you think that you should be doing. But let God do with what He has given you, and you and I can stand back amazed at what He's able to do when we just simply give Him what is in our hand, what is within our power, what He has provided us. Every one of us are different. He's given us something different. He provides tools for us to do what He needs us to do, whether it's a rod or a sling and a stone, or a jawbone. You know, a jawbone, the most unmilitary thing. And yet then I look at the pitcher and the trumpet, and they broke the pitchers and the lamps were shining and they blew the trumpets and had a fantastic victory that day. An unbelievable victory that day. A miraculous victory that day. The thing that stands out about Gideon was that God had to whittle him down. God had to take him down and lower him and lower him and lower him. And, you know, that's where we need to be. We need to be submissive to God completely, 100% yielded, submitted to Him. Lord, use me however. However, wherever You can. And He gives us what we need. The year ahead of you, kids, don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know about that first test you're going to have to take. You don't know about that last test you're going to have to take. But you can trust Jesus. You can trust God through every single day, whether you're in homeschool, Christian school, or public school, or graduated from school. God can help every single one of us to live for Him, to walk with Him, to be used of Him, and that He will be glorified in the midst of it. Before we go tonight, let's gather in those, all of our students and bus drivers and teachers. That includes homeschool moms. I'd like for you to join in as well. Anybody that's participated in school things, let's gather in and let me have prayer with you and pray God's blessing over you for this school year. Let's gather in. What a great group of kids. You can kneel or sit or stand. However you want to do it. Just squeeze on in here. Squeeze on in. All right. Earl, you're driving bus, aren't you? You just going to stay back there? Oh, brother. All these activities. Got some Bible school kids. That's right. Going to college. Anybody else going to college? Is their first year in college? Ooh, yeah. Wow. Wow, college. Yeah, we have some freshmen in college. Wow. Good deal. Good deal. If any of you the rest want to gather in around them, behind them, you're welcome to. You can stand. We're just going to dismiss from here. And let's just ask the Lord. And as a church, let's remember them. Let's bind together to pray for them, that God will keep His hand upon every one of them. Amen. Father, we thank you this evening for this group that has come forward tonight, school kids and teachers and helpers and homeschool moms that are trying their best to teach them in the home environment. And Father, we pray that you would touch each one of them. I pray, Lord, from the youngest one to the oldest one, the college freshmen, the college upper grads, I pray, Lord, that you would touch them and bless them with your daily presence and your daily help and wisdom. Help them to be reminded often that you have placed something within their hand that they can use for your glory, and that if we give, if they give of themselves to you, that whatever comes, whatever happens, and all of the circumstances of life are building blocks and stepping stones to make them what they ought to be for Jesus Christ and for your glory. Touch them, I pray. The bus drivers and their responsibilities and the stress that is upon them to transport, to carry the kids back and forth from home to school. And sometimes that can be nerve-wracking. And I pray that you would give them a peace and a calm as they drive bus. And sometimes it's called upon to be driving on less than desirable safe roads. And I pray for their protection, especially at those times as well. There are some students here, Lord, that are going to school for the first time. Pray that you would help them. Those first few days can be difficult, and they can be a problem for them. But I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to draw them in and to fold them and make it easy for them to transition into their school years. And Lord, whatever the needs are from kindergarten all the way up through the seniors, I pray that you would guide them and help them and be with them on a daily basis. The enemy of our soul is doing his best to destroy them, but I plead the blood over all of these kids here today and all of these adults that are working with children in some way. I plead the blood and ask for the blood of Jesus Christ to cover them and to shield them from the onslaught of the enemy. Help their shields, the shield of faith, to withstand the fiery darts that the enemy would throw at them. Keep your hand upon their minds and shield their minds and their heart, and help their lips and their hands and their feet to do those things that would be pleasing to you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. We give them to you for this school year and ask for your divine intervention, your divine touch, your divine interest in every one of their lives and give them attention every day of their lives, I pray. Be with us as we go from this place. Keep your hand upon us. Help us to shine the light of Jesus to those that are around us. We pray it all in Christ's name, and we'll give you the praise what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord, blessings on you, kids, young people, parents, adults, all of you. Trust that God blesses you this year. You're dismissed. Thank you for being here tonight.